This is Bird Note. Birds have always been a part of poet Holly J. Hugh's life. One of her earliest memories is of a vibrant cardinal in the snow at her family's bird feeder.
That's how I learned the color red. And I guess I just always felt like birds have been part of my family. Or maybe I wanted to be part of their family. As I've learned more about birds and their plight in terms of loss of habitat and climate change and what some of them are doing with those long migrations, my respect for them only deepens. And I guess my concern for them has deepened also.
That concern is part of what led to Holly's book, Passings, a collection of poems memorializing 15 species of birds that we've lost or are presumed to be extinct. For the project, Holly wrote in couplets, a traditional form in poetry. You know, pairs of two lines, often in the same meter, used a lot by Shakespeare, usually rhyming, though not in these poems. The long history of the form seemed to fit the birds, reaching back into the past. But as she was writing, she noticed new and unexpected ways that couplets matched her subject.
Just the shape on the page kind of resembles wings. And as I was finishing up the project and realizing how deeply interconnected we are with birds, our fate especially, I realized that the couplets could also suggest that interconnection.
The first of the poems she wrote, and the first in the book, was inspired by John James Audubon's 1824 painting of a pair of passenger pigeons. The passenger pigeon is maybe the most infamous modern extinction, going from unfathomably abundant to vanished in mere decades. On September 1st, 1914, Martha, the last passenger pigeon, died in the Cincinnati Zoo. Here is the poem, Passenger Pigeon.
See how she bends to him, her beak held within his, while she waits for his food to rise up to her hunger. He rests on the arcing branch, his neck a perfect answer to hers, wings held aloft and slightly splayed, while long tail feathers stream away, prescient blue going to dusk, breast russet, branch below studded with viridian lichen to match his coat. Colors chosen by Audubon as he painted them in courtship, in situ. See how her colors foreshadow the fall, dun, mustard, black. How her tail balances his wings painted in parallel planes. How the drooping oak leaf holds them in place. Stasis in which they are aware of no one but each other. Audubon captured them in gouache, graphite, and pastels, not knowing they would soon be gone. In his time, they were more numerous than all other species combined. They say the pigeons flew over the banks of the Ohio River for 3 days in succession, sounding like a hard gale at sea. Years later, guns splattered shot in disguise stormy with pigeons. Thousands plummeted, filling railroad cars bound for fine restaurants. Now, of those hundreds of millions that once darkened the skies, we are left with Martha, who never lived in the wild, stuffed in the Smithsonian, Prussian blue feathers stiff, glass eyes staring, waiting, still for her mate. It's hard not to judge our ancestors for their actions. I suppose with such abundance, they thought they would never end. And yet they did. You know, those species that live in such great numbers, they're such communal birds that when their numbers drop, you really can't save the last one. They need to be in community. I know that the passenger pigeon is kind of the iconic extinct bird species, and I really wanted to find out more about other species that were less well known. And that really started me on a couple-year journey of just researching extinct birds. Some of them I knew nothing about, like the Spix's macaw or the Labrador duck or the heath hen.
One bird that Holly knew she wanted to write about, though, was the northern curlew. As a child, she'd read the novel The Last of the Curlews, a fictionalized account of the life of the last of this species, and it made an impression on her.
Northern Curlew. I grew up reading The Last of the Curlews before bed, your crescent moon beak beckoning me north. Even then you were almost gone, though millions of you once filled the skies, migrating from the northern tundra to South America, feeding on grasshoppers along the way. Within 20 years, your vast flocks were brought down by market hunters, fire suppression, tilling of the prairies, eradication of grasshoppers. Before hunting was banned, 2 million curlews were killed each year. Here's the part that still makes me weep. You were wiped out because you stayed by your fallen companion. From you, I learned what loyalty means. Today, birders search for you along Galveston shore, sometimes catch a glimpse, memory being so strong. No one knows for sure you're gone. You live on in the pages of a book, a waning crescent moon.
Holly ends the book with a poem about the ivory-billed woodpecker. These massive birds lived in marshy, old-growth forests along the Gulf Coast of the U.S. and in Cuba. Deforestation made suitable habitat basically non-existent. The last confirmed sighting was 1948 in the U.S. and 1986 in Cuba. But over the years, there have been occasional unconfirmed sightings. Shaky camcorder footage studied frame by frame, methodical searches across the South in hopes of seeing this bird. While presumed extinct, some birders are adamant that the bird is still out there somewhere. For Holly, the ivory-billed woodpecker represented a glimmer of hope, and she wanted readers to feel that too.
I wanted to end on kind of a plea to the reader, whatever actions we can take to help protect the birds that are left. Whether that's habitat, keeping our cats inside, just getting on a first name basis, or just getting to know the names of the birds in our yards, right? They're our neighbors, they're our family. So this is ivory-billed woodpecker. I wish I'd been at the sighting that inspired its name, the Lord God bird. I'd love to see this woodpecker, perhaps extinct, perhaps not. No one knows for sure. Standing 20 inches tall with white wing patches and a flashy red crest. Who wouldn't say, Lord God, look at that? Once making its home in the hardwood forests of the South, birders say its ivory bill could pierce bark 8 inches deep. Imagine the racket. Even so, they were vulnerable. A single pair needed 6 square miles of wet forest with dead trees in which to nest and search for grubs. In 1948, when a Louisiana forest was cleared for a soy plantation, the last population vanished. The Cuban subspecies survived a few more decades, but by 1970, logging had reduced its population to 8 pairs. In the 1990s, explorers in the mountains near Moa found fresh signs of feeding, caught a glimpse of a bird that may have been the ivory bill, but the sighting was never confirmed. Since then, more reports have surfaced suggesting the Lord God bird may not be gone. A few still hide, spectral spirits reminding us of the shimmering line linking memory and desire, reminding us that perhaps it's not too late to save them, to save us all.
The ivory-billed woodpecker is the only species in today's show that there are audio recordings of. Listening to the squeaky calls and beak tapping of this bird, recorded in 1935. Maybe I'm biased working in audio, but it feels like the bird is brought back for a moment, amidst the hiss and clicks of the old tape. even if the ivory-billed woodpecker is gone. Something about that gives me hope. Holly feels that way about the ivory-billed, too.
I'm always conscious when I share this book. I don't want it to be just a downer. I want it to inspire people to connect with the birds that are still here and take joy in them. I wanted these birds to be able to speak for the birds that are left.
All the poems you heard in this episode were also adapted by composer Edie Hill for the choral work Spectral Spirits. You can hear a Grammy-winning recording of that work by the vocal ensemble The Crossing. We've got a link to that and lots more poetry about birds at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.